Please join me for the reading of the text of Scripture. We're going to be in 2 Timothy, the first chapter, starting at verse 6. If you don't have a Bible, there are Bibles in the cabinet at the side. Second Timothy chapter 1, starting at verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us, and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. The last couple of times I talked, I spoke regarding verse 6, stirring up the gift of God. And I drew our attention to Ephesians where Paul is telling the Ephesian church to stir up, be filled, be being. It's the present perfect tense. Be being filled. It's a continuous action. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. I've got to believe that when Paul is telling Timothy here, I put you in remembrance, stir up the gift, which means fan it into flame. It's a picture of embers glowing but not quite burning. They're red hot. You blow on them with the bellows or you fan them and the oxygen gets there and it just poof and it just bursts into flame. And that's the image that's being given here. Stir up the gift of God. That's very much what we've done here today, this morning. There's been a lot of that stirring up happening. The songs and the spiritual songs and the worship and the spontaneous appeals to God. That is not limited to Sunday mornings. That is a daily part of a believer's life. That is the key to being filled with the Spirit of God. So here we're going to move on to verse 7 today. For God hath not given us. And really, I could stop there and preach for a really long time right on that. But the contrast Paul is making here is between a spirit of fear. He's using the negative sense that God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. So he's contrasting this spirit of fear and this spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And the following verse tells us that God has saved us and called us with an holy, this is verse 9, and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. How many Christians kind of read a verse like, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, and your natural man automatically starts moving towards, well, what do I got to do to get power? What do I got to do to love people more? What do I got to do to have a sound mind? It's part of the natural carnal mind for a person to think we've got to do this in ourselves. But it says here that God hath given. It's in the negative. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but He has given us a spirit of power,
yes,
and of love and of a sound mind. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Spirit He has given us. His Spirit dwells in us. We read further down in Timothy, I think it's verse 14, the instruction to Timothy, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in you. The great mystery of the gospel is Christ in you.
Amen.
Christ in us, the hope of glory.
Amen.
That's the mystery of the gospel. How are you supposed to not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord? Here Paul is telling Timothy, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Don't be ashamed of me. I'm a prisoner. I'm in this dark, dank hole of a Roman prison awaiting death, awaiting my execution. Paul doesn't blame Nero or the Romans for him being in prison. Paul considers himself a prisoner of the Lord, nor of me his prisoner. He's not talking about Nero, he's talking about God. He is the prisoner of the Lord. How in the world can a natural man accomplish this? How in the world can a natural man be on death row, essentially, awaiting to be executed for something he didn't do? Nero was blaming the Christians for burning down Rome, which he did himself. The key is in verse 12, where Paul says, I know whom I have believed. He's talking about a person. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about Jesus. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. For God hath not given us the Spirit. This Spirit that we have been given is not something that we work up ourselves. This is a person living within us, the third person of the Trinity. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. These three are one. I'm not going to bother trying to get into the doctrine of the Trinity because smarter people than I have tried and come up lacking in that themselves. So, but our God, no, I won't. Our God is three, yet one.
Amen.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism,
yep,
one God and Father of us all. And this, I want you to recognize and spend some time giving weight to the end of verse 9. Starting in verse 8, Paul says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to, and here's the spirit of power, according to the power of God, which he hath given us. He hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. And here's what needs to really sink in home to us, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began.
Amen.
Before the world began, before Genesis 1:1, God saw you and knew you and chose you to be his child.
Amen.
Through the gospel. Before the world began, and here's the hinge point, here's the pivot of the entire human history from Adam, the first man, created sinless, created perfect, fell, sinned, and it says there that through death, sin entered the world. So Adam died, and as in Adam, all die. And Romans tells us that as in Jesus, that's reversed. We can live. We accept Jesus as our Lord. We accept the sacrifice that he has given us. We accept what he has done. And if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord as Jesus, you will be saved. The hinge point of all human history is here in verse 10. Once this was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. This is talking directly about when Jesus came to reverse what the death that the first Adam had brought into the world. Jesus came, who hath abolished death.
Amen.
That death that came into the world from Adam's sin, from Adam's eating of the fruit, disobeying what he was instructed not to eat, that one tree, had a whole garden full of trees, one tree, don't eat that fruit. He did it. Disobedience, sin entered the world, and death through sin. Jesus came. The gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works. This isn't something that we can do. This isn't something we can accomplish on our own. It is the free gift of God. It is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And that's what we're praying for our children today. The life and the immortality being brought to light through the gospel. Second Corinthians 4:4 says that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest they see the light of the glorious gospel. That's what we're praying for our kids, that they will see that light, that God will give them eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to know and understand. It's the disciples on the road to Emmaus, in the breaking of the bread, their hearts were given understanding and they recognized Christ. They said to themselves did not our hearts burn within us when he spoke to us in the way? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation for all that believe, the Jew first and also the Greek. It... It is the hinge point of the entire human history. Jesus, born of a virgin, born of the seed of God Himself, sinless man, yet God become man. The Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Jesus is the Creator of all things. There is nothing in existence, no creation, nothing that exists except that Jesus didn't create it. But here He is, becoming a man, being born of a woman, a little helpless baby, born sinless. It says in Luke that He grew in stature and knowledge and favor both with and wisdom with both God and man. And the whole purpose of Him coming was so that He could go to the cross for you and I. Yep. That He could die to reverse the death that Adam, the first Adam, had brought into this world. And I haven't even looked at my notes this morning, but that'll be for another time. But in Psalm 71, it says, O Lord, Thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared Thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed Thy power to this generation and Thy strength to everyone that is to come. That's our prayer this morning. Show Your power to our generation, to our children. Reveal Yourself to them. Break through the darkness into the light. Paul said somewhere in Acts that he was giving a defense before, I think, Agrippa, or it might have been Festus. He said, God hath chosen me to turn, by His words, to turn them from the darkness to the light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among the saints who are being sanctified. That's what we want for our children. Turn them from the power of the darkness. This is a dark world that we live in. We are in the world, we are not of the world. Every man, woman, boy and girl has to come to Jesus themselves, has to accept what Jesus has done. That includes our children. They're not saved by virtue of growing up in a Christian household. You're not a Christian by nationality. You're a Christian because you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and the sacrifice He's given. So I'm gonna put my message on hold. That kind of got shifted from a lot. But the service that we just experienced, how we worshiped and prayed spontaneously, and it just, I was sitting back there and I realized this is the stirring up of that gift that is in you. And that's not just a Sunday event. That's something that we do daily. That's something that we do hourly. That's something we do within our hearts always, as we walk around, as we go through life. We're busy. We have jobs. We have work. We have activities. We've got dogs. Take our time. One of my best meditation times is walking through the park with my dog. He's off running, and I'm walking, and I'm praying, and I'm reciting scripture, and focusing on what the Lord would have me to say. And I got to tell you, there's no way that I can possibly relay everything He's showing me out of 2 Timothy. It reads like a roadmap to the year 2023. Once we get into the second and third chapters of 2 Timothy. It's just incredible what's there. And this was written so many years ago. So I'm gonna just pray for us and close in prayer and save more for another time. Praise God. Father, thank you for your great gift. Father, it says there that you, in Corinthians, verse 2, that you have given us your Spirit that we may know the things that are freely given us of God. Amen. Father, all of our Christian life is dependent upon us knowing your Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, you said that it is expedient for us that you go away. It was necessary for us that you go away. Because if you did not go away, the Holy Spirit could not come.
Right.
You were one man, 12 disciples, physically walking this earth. Your Holy Spirit, the mystery of the gospel, is Christ in us. Each and every believer, Christ in us, when He is come, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance everything that I have said to you. Holy Spirit, you even help us in our prayers, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us according to the will of God. Father, we worship you. Your love and your mercy and your grace is awesome. You said in Psalm 102 that the children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. Father, this is your word. Your word is true. Your word is forever fixed in heaven. Your word is life. Lord Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. And Amen. No man cometh to the Father but by you.
Amen.
Father, we worship you. We ask that you would help us to realize the weight of the fact that we were chosen in Christ Jesus before the world began.
Yeah.
It says it here so plainly. We were chosen by you. You knew us before the world began.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for the sake of those that may hear this on the internet, that may be listening to me anywhere at any time, Father, I pray that you would help them to find their way to accepting the sacrifice Jesus gave. And if that's you out there somewhere, if that's any of us here, just pray. There's no elaborate prayer that's needed. It says if you can believe in your heart and confess in your mouth, the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. And it also says that in he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out.
Yes.
Jesus will never cast out anyone that comes to Him believing and asking for forgiveness. So just pray, Father, I recognize that I'm a sinner, that I have fallen short of the glory of God, that I am under the curse of Adam who sinned. But I want Jesus to be my Redeemer. I believe that He is the Lord.
Amen.
and that He will save me. I confess Him with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. And I ask Your Spirit to come into my heart. Teach me how to live for You. Teach me how to walk in this new life. And save me. And show me what it is that You would have me to know, and help me to have the courage to follow You. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
So thank you for listening. That was a little different this morning. You know, we all three agreed this week that one of the things Rob Barron did in the session with us is he got us to talk about how we feel about what the Lord might be doing here at Kings. We're so few, so small, yet each one of us, together with one voice, virtually, the Lord is building something here.
Amen.
The Lord is shaking the foundations. The Lord is stripping away all of the external trappings in the building, and not physically, but just like spiritually, He's stripping away everything so that He can go right to the root of each one of us, individually and corporately. The church is described as a body. There's a head, that's Jesus. There's hands, there's feet, there's ears, there's eyes. The eye can't say to the foot, I don't have need of You, because the eye will only see one thing if he isn't able to walk around and go other places. We are a body. The Lord is building something here. The Lord has not forsaken the King's Fellowship. We are on the verge, I believe, of something very exciting, something big. We're being shaken. We're being stirred. We're being built into that royal priesthood that He determined before the world began that we will walk in it. So the Lord bless you.
Amen.
The Lord keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and give you peace. And don't forget, stir up that gift of God. Fan it into flame. What we did just here, just now, make that a regular practice in your daily life. Pick a time, pick a place, do something.
Thank you, Lord.
Make it happen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
That's our only part in it. Stirring the Holy Spirit up just puts us into an environment where the Holy Spirit Himself can be the Spirit of power, can be the Spirit of love, can be the Spirit of a sound mind. And so, because I didn't get through anything today, we'll revisit all this next time. God bless you all. I believe there's coffee.
Yes.
And snacks. Please stay and visit a little bit and get to know people. Thank you. God bless you.